And ask if you would turn in the Gospel according to John, to the 14th chapter. We're going to read the first six verses in John 14, very familiar passage to believing Christians over the years. We're also going to be taking a look at the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to start our series on the Catechism again and begin with words that are beloved by Christians, and particularly Reformed Christians over the centuries, about where our only comfort in life and in death is found. Looking at question and answer one out of Lord's Day 1. But first, we're going to take a look at John 14. By the way, Lord's Day 1 is on page 8 in the back of the hymn book. Let's take a look, first of all, at these words from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. We thank the Lord for it. We want to take a moment, and if you would, to read with me from question and answer one of Lord's Day 1 from the Heidelberg Catechism, page 8 in the back of the hymn book. Here's the question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. So watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Thanks for reading that with me. Let's take a moment and ask that God would bless his word to us. Lord, your truths are indeed a comfort for your people. The gospel is indeed a joyful sound to those who receive it in faith. We do pray that we might do so this morning, and that by the blessing of your Spirit, our hearts may be filled with the comforts of your gospel. May what is proclaimed be that which testifies to the truths of your word. And dear Father, may we receive through the proclamation of your word and the reading of the scriptures such a blessing that would reflect what we have just testified in Lord's Day 1, that we are indeed comforted. In a world where there are many things that we'd like to consider comforting, the only true one is found in belonging to Christ. And may that be our joy today. And with each day that we live before you, and also, Lord, in our death, accept our prayers for Christ's sake. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask the question, what is our only comfort in life and in death? It would appear to be on the surface a question that most people would find difficult, if not impossible, to answer. My only comfort? It'd be like asking people, what's the only food that you eat? The only food? Why, I eat all kinds of food. I don't eat just one kind. Wouldn't Heidelberg's first question be a question similar to that then? My only comfort? I've got many of them. Some I get to enjoy, some I wish I could enjoy. I'm comforted when I know that there's just a few more miles left in my long 500-mile journey, or however far is to me. I'm comforted when I know that I'm surrounded by friends and family. I'm comforted when I'm safely in my home at night. The doors are locked tight, and when it's cold, I can feel the warmth in my home. I have a favorite food. It's my comfort food. It goes down so nicely. I'm comforted when the doctor says that everything is all right as he looks at the x-ray. I'm comforted when there's something to fall back on, a line of work, a measure of savings. I'm comforted that I did my best in the work that I've just completed. Why do I have to pick just one? In fact, why is there only one? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. There seems to be so many. And granted, in one respect, there are many comforts in life, and for that matter, many things that make us comfortable. But the way that the Heidelberg Catechism asks the question is more extensive and deep than what we usually consider when we think about our comforts. For one thing, the question that gets asked is, what is our only comfort in life and in death? Not just life. While I'm living, and even while I'm dying, I may find some measure of comfort in the things that have been mentioned, and other things as well. But what good do they do me when I'm dead? How can I know comfort when I'm dead? The many comforts we mentioned won't answer the question sufficiently for us. None of them help. But what about life? What about those things that we've mentioned? Do they have the lasting comfort that the Heidelberg Catechism seems to be driving at? Doesn't life lead to death anyway? Isn't that the road we're going down? So what if I have these other comforts? What are they really going to help me do in life that's truly meaningful? They make me feel better, but for what purpose? Are they really able to strengthen me to do anything that's really important? Can they provide for me a true satisfaction? Can they provide for me a true comfort, a true strengthening to an ultimate comfort? Oh yes, there are many comforts we enjoy and we wish we could enjoy. But do they? Can they truly put my heart at rest? Do they have the power to bring peace to my life? Can they truly fill the void that is discovered in the heart of mankind? In our passage this morning, the disciples of Jesus Christ had troubled hearts. They were troubled by life. They were troubled by death. What was the antidote to this trouble? Don't let your hearts be troubled. What's the antidote? It was found in faith in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It was found in Jesus Christ. When we ask the question, what is our only comfort in life and in death? There's only one answer. Regardless of the other things that we call comforting in life, the answer is to belong to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Because without that possession, without his possession of us, there really isn't anything truly or ultimately comforting in life, and certainly not in death. This morning we consider the truth that in a very real sense reminds us that there is no other comfort than belonging to Christ. In a world that believes in many religious comforts and believes so quickly that they belong body and soul to themselves and dare anyone to question that so-called sanctified right, we consider the uniqueness of Christ for comfort. The lordship that we're called to confess and the blessings that are ours when we do belong to Him, the blessings that bring the comfort that only He can give. So we consider, first of all, Christ's uniqueness. The Christian confession is that there's no other comfort than what Christ can give. And we'll see later that the comfort that He gives does indeed go a bit deeper than what we normally think about when we think of comfort. Our passage says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." The word "also" would make you think that there are two comforts, God and Christ. But in John's gospel, we come to see that often people needed to see the oneness between God the Father and the Son. Often we hear how if people were going to claim to believe in God, they had to believe in the Son whom He sent. You can't truly say in this world that you're a believer in God if you don't also believe in His Son whom He sent. And that simply underscores the point of this sermon and our passage, that there is no comfort outside of Christ. There is no comfort unless we have access to God. Unless we are welcomed into His house. And we are at peace with Him. And can be in His presence and know all the blessings that come from being in His presence, there is no comfort to be found. But you can't find that comfort apart from Christ. He's the way to the Father. He's the faithful Son and faithful Savior as the truth. And in Him and Him alone, there is life with the Father forever. Now, of course, that doesn't sit well with our world that wants and confesses many comforts. People are comforted in a God that saves everybody and will allow all people to end up in a better place after they die. And that's how people love to talk. With Christ or without Him, they hear people die and they say, well, he's in a better place or she's in a better place. People are comforted in feeling good about what they do. And that's religion enough for them. We have plenty of people in our society that find it bewildering that people will make such a big deal about trying to protect the unborn. And their mentality is, what's wrong with people trying to live a convenient life? What's wrong with people wanting to try to take the cramp out of their style by aborting him or her that was conceived in their womb? They don't see anything wrong with that. They don't see anything wrong with pursuing death that way if it fits their life and makes things easier for them. After all, the standard of comfort is manifold, as many as there are people. It's up to me to decide what's wrong, what's right. It's up to me to find comfort for me and choose what's comforting to me. As a depraved humanity, we like to say that everyone is special in his or her own way, and we even try to teach that to our little kids from the very beginning. We don't like, ironically, a special Savior. We'd rather create our own version of what salvation is, but every version outside of Christ, when you get down to it and you start looking at it close enough, leaves us in only one place, death. It's always where it leaves us. And being left there or being led there is anything but comforting. Though in our self-deception, We applaud the movements and the men and the women who lead us there. We even throw our money to it and put our trust in it. Jesus doesn't say there are many ways to God. He doesn't say there are many ways to quiet our troubled hearts when it comes to what life's about and where death will lead us. He says, trust in God. Trust also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Living and dying is the only comfort there is. That means that we have to believe. If we believe that living and dying, if there's a comfort in living and dying, we have to believe that we're in a sinful predicament. That's our own fault. And out of which we can't dig ourselves. Living and dying in the only comfort requires that we make that kind of confession. Living and dying in comfort means that we have to believe there's only one Savior who can save us from ourselves, and that Savior is not us. There's only one comfort in life and in death, and that is because there's only one Savior for life and death. And unless we believe in the one Savior, there's no comfort for us at all. Not a bit. And not only is there no comfort if Christ is not our Savior, there is no comfort if Christ is not our Lord. Our Christian confession is so countercultural. We say, I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Somebody owning us just grates us in our society, in our culture. We hate that. And it grates not only in the culture as a whole, it grates against our depravity. You know, although biblically speaking, we're either enslaved to evil or we belong to Christ, and there is no other way. In our culture and in our depravity, we like to make a third choice. We belong to ourselves, body and soul. I'm my own God. I'm my own Lord. I'm the captain of my own destiny. The confession of the world, in part, and the confession of depravity of mankind is, you know what, I've got the right to do with my body as I see fit. That's a basic argument against the unborn. I've got the right to decide what's best for my body. Such a philosophy is self-deception in more ways than one, of course. For in the first part, as we've already said, biblically speaking, we're either living under the domain of godlessness or we're living under the domain of godliness. But there isn't any other domain. In our depravity, we deceive ourselves into thinking that as a creature that's here today and gone tomorrow, that somehow we have become the eternal God, rather than seeing ourselves as those who are called to conform to the image of God and made in His image. We become as those who, like Paul says, want to worship the creature rather than the Creator. We've become our own God. Without coming to grips with our own mortality that betrays these lofty aspirations of ours. In the second part, when we say that we have the right to do with what we want with our own bodies, we fail to see that there's another body to consider, the body of the unborn, who, whether in the womb or out of the womb, carries with him or her the human qualities of the image of God in both body and soul. So in this twofold way, depravity leaves us deceived. We're deceived on the one hand in understanding who we are in relation to God, and we are deceived in another in terms of who we are in relationship to the unborn in the womb. And really, isn't that kind of the summary of the law anyway? That we deceive ourselves with? Our love to God and our love to neighbor. If we really want to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, we would be wise to dispose of the idea that we'll find things out just fine through self-direction and self-seeking and self-aggrandizement. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." He didn't say, "Follow your inner star." He didn't say, "Believe in yourself." He said, "Believe in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Pursue life the only way it can be pursued. Be freed from the perspective of the world that leads to death. Find rest for your soul in the only place you can find it. Stop trying to find it by going your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, turning to our own way. And all that does is lead to death. And everything we promote leads to that. And we drag others with us. There's no comfort in that. And we are deceived if we think there is. We're called to get rid of that idea that we can be our own gods, though it may seem to be a comforting thought. The great I am, the great God, is found in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. If we don't want to belong to Him, we won't belong to ourselves. We'll belong to evil, to Satan, to sin, to death. And there is no comfort in that slavery. True comfort is found only in the uniqueness of Christ as Savior and in belonging to Him as Lord. And the comfort He brings is superior to a cushy chair or a hot cup of cocoa. When the Catechism was written, people were indeed in need of hearing about comfort because there wasn't much comfort to be found. Not because, you know, they didn't have video games to play or because they didn't have air-conditioned homes and that it got kind of stuffy in Germany in the middle of the summer. But because the comfort of Christ needed to be revived in the life of the church and of society then too. When we talk about comfort, we're speaking about encouragement. We're talking about a stability that enables us to face life and death with renewed courage and hope, which bolsters us with a holy confidence that teaches us that despite what we must face in life, we've got good reason for good courage and a belief that everything's going to work out well in the end. That's what the Scriptures seek to teach us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Christ. Come to Him and you'll find rest. That's the blessing that Christ gives when we belong to Him in faith and by grace. You think about the comforting stability that we confess. He hasn't partially paid for our sins with His precious blood and leaves us to the end to figure out the rest. He's fully paid the price. We don't have to worry about that anymore when we're in Christ. That's a comforting thing. He set me free from the tyranny of the devil. I'm not in two camps anymore, but I'm in the Lord's camp. I don't belong to Satan anymore, who wants nothing but death for me. I belong to Christ, who wants nothing but life for me. And He frees me to serve Him. That's a comforting thing. He'll protect me. He'll preserve me. For through Him, I'm a child of the Heavenly Father who works all things for my good. Not just a few things here and a few things there and these things that I enjoy and these things that I enjoy here or there. No. All things work together for my salvation. That's a comforting thing. With Christ's Spirit working in my life, I'm assured of everlasting life as I praise God, as I thank Him for His grace, as I serve Him, and as I pass the word along to others. That's a comforting thing as I dwell on Christ's righteousness. By His Spirit, I can now work for life. I can now work with meaning. I can work for the King. I can work with purpose. I've got the ultimate in significance for my life. That's a comforting thing. Those comforts I get in life can now be used to help me serve my Lord all the more from this day on and forever. I've got reason to live. I'm empowered to live. That's comforting. Those are the blessings that come when I belong to Christ. The only way I can receive them is when I belong to Him. And that's why the Catechism says that we should confess in accordance with the Scriptures that there's no comfort for us except when we can say in faith that we belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I know we talk a lot about a lot of comforts. But in one sense, there's only one. That comfort in belonging to Jesus. But when that's our comfort, what a comfort it is. What a Savior. What a Lord. What blessings He provides that no one else can. What comfort that is for you. When you can say in faith that you belong to Christ, because He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. Amen. Let's pray.